Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Earl Selborne. It's a pleasure to be here this evening, and tonight's dinner is timely. I welcome the chance to focus on the ambition we set out in the Scottish Government's programme for government and to lead the key technological and social changes of the future, and also try and touch on a couple of points that have been raised by colleagues who've come before me as well. We've heard some very interesting contributions indeed from Professor Gray, from Nora Senior, and from Lady Rice as well, and I'm sure you can see that with the quality of what Nora has said that we've made a good appointment to the overall strategic board, so I'm delighted to see Nora's appointment. But I know you'll want to have time to engage in the panel sessions and to get your dinner afterwards. It's always an unfortunate task of politicians to keep you from your dinner. But I'll focus on two key areas that make up part of our business strategy, increasing innovation and developing the digital economy. Before I do that, though, I just want to sort of reflect on some points that we made already. I think some very valid points that were made by Ian earlier on about the need for Scottish Government to engage with UKRI and Innovate UK as they stand at the moment. Just to reassure Professor Gray, who I know knows this, but the audience as well, that we are doing so. Innovate UK and indeed UKRI are continuing to engage with both the Can Do Innovation Forum, which I co-chair with my colleague Shirley-Anne Somerville, and also with Life Sciences Scotland, which is obviously a key industry leadership group for one of our fastest growing sectors. And those are just two examples of where we're trying to build linkages with the new research landscape to take account of the fact, as Professor Gray says, absolutely key with Research England embedded in that organisation, we have to up our game and make sure that the new organisation is well aware of Scotland's strengths and research in our key sectors. So we will very much be doing that. I think also just in relation to the government economic strategy, I think Professor Gray was alluding to this, that we need to see greater alignment between what we are doing in terms of funding innovation and research and development and our economic strategy. And that, I think, if it is seen to be more relevant to the economic needs of Scotland, will help underpin growth in business and investment in R&D as well. Nora made some very good points. I'm going to try and put a positive spin on the economy, but I think, to be fair, Nora made some very valid points about the state of the Scottish economy at this moment in time. There are indeed strengths, but there are also things that should concern us and do concern us, and we need to tackle those. I think in particular the low take-up of in terms of a number of aspects of digital economy are things that we are concerned about. I had a very positive meeting and trip to Bavaria last October, about a year on from that, where I met Invest in Bavaria and colleagues from Bavarian government. What became clear is there that the transformation they have made, and we sometimes think that these things are just inherently cultural in countries like Germany, but they've had to work hard to get where they are today, with over three quarters of their businesses exporting and with a great deal more digital engagement than we have in Scotland. And they have taken some steps, which they were criticised for at the time, but have been quite bold. I'll not say that tonight, in case Murdo and colleagues in the audience think it's immediately going to be government policy, but they have taken some risks in terms of requiring businesses to do various things before they get support from Invest in Bavaria as a prerequisite. And that has actually borne fruit, because even the smallest businesses now are exporting outside of Germany, which is tremendous. And Nora also picked up on the skills aspects of digital economy and the important sectors like fintech, data analytics and other new technologies, and the need for skills to be provided. There are some great initiatives which perhaps need to be more widely known, such as CodeClan, which is retraining people on a daily basis. I've just actually saw on Twitter today someone, a journalist actually, saying that she had retrained to become a coder through CodeClan. So it goes to show you don't have to have a background in technology to enter those occupations. And I know it's a very high priority for the financial services industry to help reposition the workforce they have for the jobs that will be present tomorrow, rather than relying on perhaps filling roles today, because they are, I can assure you, concerned about the welfare of their workforce. And also, I think, just in summary, both I think Professor Gray's and Nora's points, I think there has to be a significant cultural shift within the Scottish business community. It is true to say that, forget the precise figure, but I know it's a very small number, sadly, of how concentrated business expenditure and R&D is within the Scottish economy. There's a huge tail of companies out there who are not engaging in innovation and productivity growth, and we have to have an honest conversation about that. How do we actually engage those businesses in innovation to make sure that they can be resilient to the world of the future, which may well challenge many of them, given the scale of change that we are anticipating. And Lady Susan hit on a number of those areas, such as climate change, which could have a profound impact on business, clearly, particularly in those sectors that are vulnerable to the effects of climate change, but more generally, that they need to become more sustainable, given the policy changes that are likely to happen across governments, across not just Scotland, but the rest of Europe, UK, to require business to decarbonise over a period of time. So if nothing else, they have to be ready for that and to look at how they can make their business model more sustainable. But there are great examples, even in oil, sectors like oil and gas, which you might not obviously think as being positioned to take the benefit of low carbon jobs. We have companies like East Coast Oil and Gas, or ECOG in Aberdeen, that are have engaged in providing uninterrupted power supplies for subsea platforms, but in doing so developed a new tidal energy technology, which may have benefits for renewables. So there are great examples, and Lady Susan gave some excellent ones as well, and she's absolutely right to highlight institution investment like School of Informatics is critical to attracting business to Scotland. I've met several businesses who have come to Edinburgh and come to Scotland, indeed, because of the success of the School of Informatics. But I know you want to have a time, as I say, to engage the panel, so I'll rush through the points I'm going to make about the innovation and developing the digital economy. It's very important to recognise that we do start, albeit I recognise the points made by colleagues, from a relatively strong position, because the fundamentals of our economy are still relatively strong. Employment is above its pre-recession peak, and indeed both unemployment and youth unemployment have fallen steadily in recent years, and indeed youth unemployment is amongst the lowest in Europe. Productivity has grown by 7.6% since 2000, albeit from a low base, and I appreciate that, but we are making progress there. And international exports are up 41% between 2007 and 2015. So again, progress, but not where we'd like to be. Obviously, we want to have performance in that top quartile. And indeed, our economy has strengthened in the first half of 2017, with the number of people in employment rising to 2.66 million, which is close to a record, and unemployment falling over the last year. Well, last year, Scotland secured more research and development foreign direct investment projects than any other country or region in the UK, which in itself is a strong performance. However, growth is still lower than we want to see, and we continue to face some serious headwinds, including the threat of hard Brexit, which, sorry to disappoint Murdo, we'll mention the Fraser and Valander figures, which suggests we could cost the Scottish economy around £11 billion a year in terms of economic growth by 2030, resulting in 80,000 fewer jobs than might otherwise have been the case if we had stayed within the European Union. And growth in Scotland is projected to continue, but to remain below trend as this Brexit uncertainty lingers, casting a shadow over the future economic outlook, threatening jobs, investment and living standards. And I don't say that to be gloomy, but I think we have to be realistic about the challenges that business face, and we have to help prepare them for the challenges that are coming. So it's important we recognise what is in our path. And our economy, with its four linked pillars that were mentioned by Professor Gray of innovation, investment, internationalisation and inclusive growth, is well placed to meet these challenges. But we recognise there's always more that can be done and indeed must be done. Our major trading partners are the rest of the UK. We have been vocal in telling Westminster that we and our agencies and indeed the other devolved nations need to be engaged fully in the development and delivery of the UK industrial strategy. We didn't get off to a great start, but I can be more positive now. I think initially, because we weren't consulted in the development of the industrial strategy, that put us in a difficult position at the outset. But I am pleased to say there has been some more positive engagement between UK ministers and myself and the Cabinet Secretary, Keith Brown, and other colleagues in recent months. And so in Greg Clark, I think we have somebody who we can work with, but it has taken a bit of effort on our part to get to that point. We do have different levers, challenges and opportunities, and this needs to be recognised because of the devolved powers we have. And unfortunately, engagement, as I say, has not been happening in all sectors, and not in the depth that we would like, but we have been working tirelessly to ensure that Scotland's interests and economy are considered in the UK industrial strategy and continue to do so. And we are working with individual sectors as well to make sure they have the support they need from us to be able to present a strong case to UK ministers in terms of their own sector deals that they are developing as well, which is an important part of the process. And the Scottish Government recognises that supporting and promoting successful new ideas, new businesses and new research is key to increasing our prosperity as a nation. And having a thriving and dynamic innovation ecosystem is essential for improved productivity, competitiveness and growth. And as we've said before, we want to boost Scotland's innovation performance to match the levels of the best performing countries in the OECD. And Nora has set out, you know, just how challenging that will be, but it is a worthwhile aim to go for. And we have set our ambition for innovation in the Scotland Can Do Innovation Action Plan, published earlier this year. And the plan's ambition for innovation is to create a culture in Scotland that supports ambitious businesses to use innovation to grow and to flourish. And this focus on business is crucial. It's increased interest and investment in innovation by our business community is the how that Scotland will, means by which Scotland will reap the economic benefits that innovation can bring. Now, our enterprise and skills review hopefully reinforced this. I'm delighted that obviously we have got Nora here tonight and I listened within very much with great interest to what she's saying. It's an exciting time for the enterprise and skills agencies, and there are challenges but also significant opportunities, as Nora has already outlined. And bringing a businesswoman of Nora's calibre and standing to head up the strategic board sends out, we believe, a message about how much we value the perspective of business. And the other members of the strategic board will, of course, be announced soon. We know that government support is only part of the answer, though, to the question of innovation, and we need to facilitate and encourage businesses to drive us forward. And through the Scottish Growth Scheme, we are investing in ensuring that high growth potential SMEs can access finance. And in the recent programme for government, we announced increased practical support for business in the form of an additional £45 million for R&D grants over the next 3 years. Now, this uplift will enable more ambitious businesses to invest in research and development and contribute towards our aim of doubling business enterprise R&D expenditure in R&D to £1.75 billion by 2025. And it's worth stating, I think the £45 million we would hope be topped up with business to add a further £222 million. So that takes the gives you a sense of scale in terms of the leverage we'd expect to get from that additional R&D investment. And we're investing in developing and delivering a National Manufacturing Institute for Scotland to facilitate innovation and to catalyse our businesses. And this will not only contribute to business growth, but will also help to boost Scotland's overall innovation performance. There are many SMEs out there that lack access to specialist equipment to allow them to develop prototypes and to gain access to skills that will help support them. And I think NMIS will play a very important role in providing that service. If we're really going to capitalise on our assets, and Nora and in particular referred to our asset base, we also need to make much better links between our business and academic communities. And Scotland's universities are, we believe, the envy of the world. Not only do they provide excellent teaching to the innovators and entrepreneurs of tomorrow, but they produce some of the best research in the world. And a colleague pointed out just last week a report on global innovation which identifies the University of Dundee as the world's most influential scientific research institution in pharmaceuticals. So there are many institutions that have real nuggets of knowledge and experience that are internationally renowned, and we need to celebrate those. And it is ahead of lesser known establishments such as MIT and Berkeley, it's worth pointing out. So you know, very, very well-regarded universities were behind Dundee in that assessment. And being at the Royal Society of Edinburgh, I should also include a very, very honourable mention for my alma mater, University of Edinburgh, which was ranked in sixth place in a global poll. And those results are quite remarkable. So Scotland, nation of 5.4 million people, has one of the top six universities in the world in that regard. So that is an outstanding achievement. Now, if we can harness that world-leading research better, make sure where it can be, it's aligned with the needs of our economy as well, we have the potential to drive major innovation, investment and growth in the economy. And we're looking to do this through the College Innovation Fund pilot as well, because it's not just about universities. There are also Professor Graham Reid, who evaluated the innovation centres, raised an important point around the role for our college sector in providing innovation support. And given the huge number of SMEs that they engage with on a weekly basis, that's a vital thing as well to harness that network of companies they engage with if we're going to really tackle that big tail of small and medium-sized companies across across the economy who are not engaging to date. And we need to support the network of eight innovation centres, which SFC have committed up to £120 million to support over a six-year period. Now, turning to digital, Scotland has made great strides in our digital economy, and digital technology allows us to speed up cycles of innovation and allows us to link rural and urban economies as well. And recently, my colleague Fergus Ewing, the Cabinet Secretary for Rural Economy and Connectivity, announced that we're on track to have 95% of Scottish premises able to benefit from fibre broadband. And that is thanks to continued funding and support from the Scottish Government and hard work by local authorities in some cases as well to support that and top up that funding from government. And we're not stopping there. Our ambition is to have 100% coverage by 2020, which will not be easy, obviously, but where we live or work should not be a barrier to digital access and opportunities, and it clearly is in some cases at the moment, and we need to address that. And we in government have to practice what we preach. I recognise that. We all know about the pressures on public spending, and with limited resources, we need to think innovatively about service delivery. And I'm very pleased that the CivTech pilot, which is genuinely groundbreaking internationally, launched last September, is progressing with its objective to drive innovation in the public sector through collaboration with technology startups, accessing the brightest and best in the private sector to help improve service delivery and outcomes in the public sector. And we've doubled funding to £1.2 million at this early stage to allow this to be scaled up and to do even more projects. Digital connectivity is one thing, of course, but to really capitalise on it, we need to ensure that we have digital skills as well. Digital skills are key to accessing services and opportunities, key to success in the global economy, and we're committed to expanding our pool of digital skills and capabilities. We're building upon the foundations we've already laid, such as the STEM programme and, as I mentioned earlier, CodeClan Digital Skills Academy. We'll embed digital literacy from early years onwards by expanding the number of coding clubs in schools and boosting teacher numbers in computing as well, again as a high priority. We're also working with industry to tackle skill shortages and to increase the number of pathways into the workplace. It's imperative that we also address the gender gap that continues to blight the digital sector. The proportion of women in digital technology roles in our country is only 18%. Clearly that is way below what it should be. And this limits our talent pool and our ability to understand the needs of our users. And in conclusion, as I said at the start of this speech, we're building from a strong base. We shouldn't be too hard on ourselves or our prospects, but we are not complacent, and we've heard very good reasons why we shouldn't be complacent tonight, and we know we still have a long way to go. I've outlined just some of the many ways in which we're looking to drive innovation and industry in Scotland, and the actions I've outlined are the foundations for building a more vibrant, inclusive and innovative economy across Scotland. Working together, we can create a more prosperous, innovative and inclusive society as well. And we want a Scotland where people have the opportunity to flourish no matter where they are born or who they are. Very important point that was made about inclusive growth by Professor Gray and followed by others. And where businesses can thrive importantly and grow as part of that virtuous cycle. We need to work together to build on that, and I look forward to hearing your views on how we can make that happen. Thank you very much.